Okay, 1, 2, 3, enter. Hello, hello, good people, and welcome. Welcome to another episode of Girls Like Me, UG. If it is your first time here, we are so happy to have you with us. We have missed you. Not that we have missed you, see my life. If you're here and you're here for the first time, we're happy to have you and happy to have you join us. And then for those of you who are regulars, we have missed you. I know Kathy and I have misbehaved, but we are back and we promise we'll keep this a more regular thing. So I'm your host, Solea Munyana, and my co-host, like I mentioned, Kathy Bagaya, is not on call today. She's currently on location filming a drama series, Mpeke Town, in the beautiful town of Jinja. For those of you who don't know, Jinja happens to be at the source of the River Nile. That happens, is it the longest river, second longest? Anyway, I think it's the second longest river in the world. And now we asked you a few weeks ago what topics you'd like us to cover, what you'd want us to discuss on the show, and you came through with some really, really awesome suggestions. And in response to that, today we have a highly requested for topic for discussion, transition. Did you know that all of us are going through transition? No matter what period you are in your life, you're actually going through a transition. So maybe in this regard, you are feeling a little stuck in your career. You're beginning to think that there's got to be more to your work or to your career than this. But you're wondering how do I go about this? So, Leah, you're saying all the right things, but how exactly do I go about doing this? No worries. We have someone here who's going to provide you some guidance and help you maybe find some answers, maybe ask you some thoughtful questions that you could probably go over. So today, we tried doing this interview. There's a confession here. We tried doing this interview about 2 days ago. Zoom let us down. There was a lot of interference with the audio. We had our Ampavana buds in the background screaming and making some noise. So we thought, and Joan was very, very generous to come in and agree to do this interview second time around. And she is a certified, hear the words, certified professional coach and one of three, count them, one, two, three, one of three transition coaches in Uganda. She also happens to be the author of Corporate at a Crossroads that you can get on Amazon. Or if you're in Uganda, please support your local bookshop. Most likely Aristoc would have this. And without further ado, I'm going to have my guest introduce herself, because sometimes we introduce people and they're like, that's not how I see myself. Like, everyone's going through their own thing. So Joan, would you like to tell us how you'd like to be introduced by introducing yourself?
Wow, Solea, I'm not even sure. I hope I can be authentic, because my concern is, yeah, you took me through the process. We talked, and now see,
yes,
technology
indeed
let us down. Into, like, I think we had our own version of an outage, right?
Yes, we did. You know, rain in Uganda is not simple. For those of you who don't know, we have our own tropical storms.
Yes, but I think I like the way you've introduced me. Maybe there's a change in statistics. We've now encouraged a couple of people that are coming on board as professional coaches, even the professional certified coaches, in terms of hierarchy in that sense. I think we now have 5 that awesome are now professional certified coaches, but we brand ourselves differently. And I've chosen to brand myself as an employment transition coach. So that's what most people know me for. And what that means is that I'm always working with employees on the whole spectrum of the employee life cycle, if you will. And that means if somebody has just started out in their career and they want support, then mid-level career, then sometimes they even get in executive positions and they are confused.
It's,
it's very interesting what people go through. Just yesterday, of course, now the beautiful thing is that this happened after our initial conversation.
Indeed.
I was facilitating a class of managers with the Strathmore Business School. And we were just thinking about what happens when you're in a managerial position. These are mid-level managers, and definitely they're the kinds of people who would be in the executive pipeline.
Yeah.
And we're just looking at that scenario of saying, how do you transition yourself even into an executive role? Because one of the things that we don't pay attention to is that sometimes we are self-sabotaging, because feel, here I am, I'm a mid-level manager, operations manager, whatever the title would be, and you kind of try to guard that territory, and you don't realize that the more you guard that territory, the more you're sabotaging your own personal growth. Because as you mentor many people around you, as they grow into certain roles, other roles will open up for you because now you're the only one who has an experience of building up other people. And so that's the journey that I'm really focusing on. Employment transition, make it good for people, and all the way to retirement, certainly. It's very interesting that many people, when they hear that I'm talking about employment transition, they think I'm telling them to go my route, leave employment and get into self-employment. Mm-hmm. But that's just one of the many choices.
Yeah, that's available.
You can as well work through your career up to the time of retirement. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
It's just that now you're thinking through, okay, fine, we know that one day we are all going to retire. We'll all hit that age, 55 if you're in Uganda for most of our context. And then, of course, that is with NSSF, the National Social Security Fund. That's the determining factor, 55. I know entities that are like banks that whose retirement age is about 58. And if you're in government, it's 60. Of course, if you live in the US, you know you guys are, you know, I think are even pushing for 70 or whatever it is. So they can work up to
for as long as they want to.
Yes. Mm. So long story, but it's about that employment transition cycle that somebody should be able to see themselves and should keep growing.
Okay. You know what I like about what you're saying, Joanne, is for the longest time, and we've known each other for a few years now, I always thought in terms of what you did was just to help people plan for their retirement. But of course, we've had conversations over the past couple of months where you've told me changes are happening and you actually explained to me how you were able to help someone who's starting out in her career saying, I'm planning for, let's say, I'm an intern at a TV station. I'm working in the production department, but my end goal is to become the head of department. That's where I want to be. But if I'm 24 at that time, I know that job's not going to fall on my laps. So there's something that you can help me, the two of us can work through together to actually see how I could get to that position of head of department. And I think you brought up another important thing, and we discussed this the last time when it comes to tying our identity to our jobs. Because that's the reason why some of us stay on. You're thinking, ha, now if I leave, who will I be? It's a real fear because if for the longest time you have been introduced as John Mugenzi, you know, communication specialist for World Vision, you know, regional head, that's quite a title. And then suddenly to say, okay, now step away from this position to go off and do your own thing, you'll be like, hey, but how will people introduce me? How will I be referred to as? What's your advice for, and I'm sure this happens for a lot of us because I'm hearing what you say and I wish this was even part of our education in terms of helping us plan and think about how the direction we want our careers to go in, as opposed to just letting life happen or saying, you know, the HR manager should have seen this in me and offered me a position. What I would like to know from you is what advice do you have for those of us who tie our identity to a role that we play? And this could be in employment. This also happens in our personal lives. You know, once you're a mother for a lot of my friends, I'm sure they're about to start experiencing the emptiness syndrome. You know, their children are now getting to the age of being teenagers. They're about to start leaving for university. You know, once that role sort of goes away where you are the person taking care of these human beings, now they're gone. You're like, who am I now that they're not there? What advice do you have for those of us who are struggling to deal with tying our identity to our roles?
Quite interesting. How much time do you have?
Bad, Joanne. It's you who doesn't have time, but please go on.
Well, I think for me, self-discovery is the starting point for anyone. So that the moment you're comfortable in your skin, life is good. I discovered that I was an encourager. Okay, I am an encourager at the age of 29.
Wow.
Lived through, and you know that's a test time.
Yes.
My goodness, I'm going to grow old. Yes. I'm aging. I'm going to be what, 30?
30 can be scary. Just like, what?
Yes. So for me, that was a season of many questions because I kept on thinking, what is it that I want with my life? Unfortunately, I go to Watoto Church. Back then, we were Kampala Pentecostal Church. We used to have discipleship class. We still do. What I'm not sure is whether it is structured the way it was structured back then. But one of the things that we did were these psychometric tests. You know, psychologists have, I always tell people that, you know, if I was to live life all over again, I would study psychology, I think. Because I just find it fascinating that they ask you very simple questions. You don't know where they are leading. And then they produce a report that just describes you. Now, for me, it came up that, you know, I'm an encourager. And the second thing is trainer, encourager, trainer. And throughout school, I told myself, I can never be a teacher because I just realized I don't have the patience.
Yes.
You know, I don't have the patience. And yet when it comes to me, I want somebody to understand where I'm coming from.
Mm.
But when it comes to me dealing with individuals, I'm thinking, what is taking you so long to grasp this concept?
It's so simple.
Yeah, it's, it looks so simple and all that. But then I realized that, well, that is not me.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember one of the things that I used to say, that maybe if I'm to be a teacher, I want to teach adults.
Nice.
Because in my mind, I thought that an adult knows why they're in class.
Mm.
You know, I have an 8-year-old that I look after and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, she's in her own world. She doesn't understand the things that you're saying. Then sometimes I'm thinking, I look back to my life and I'm thinking,
was
anybody pushing me to do this thing? All I know that I enjoyed play.
Mm.
So sometimes even the way I support her is so skewed to play because I'm thinking that I enjoy her life.
Exactly.
Because if I'm going to put pressure on her right now, I might just damage her along the way.
True.
Good enough, she loves reading. Mm. So at least...
Thank goodness for that. Thank God for books. Mm.
Yes. So at least now I know I can dump books at, you know, at her. And then she will read. And then she wants to come and tell you stories. And she dramatizes all this stuff. Mm.
Yeah.
But, you know, going back to self-discovery. So when I realized that I was an encourager, I started asking myself, so how am I supposed to use this gift of mine?
Mm.
And I was just intentional to just say that, okay, every conversation that I'm going to have with an individual, I should be able to say, okay, what is my role in here?
Yeah.
And I would be, you know, I went through an interesting season where I would have my own silent prayers. I would be speaking to you, we know, with you, Solea, and deep within me, I'm asking God, so what do you want me to encourage this person on? I was spiritual like that.
Yes,
I think my
spiritual
meter went down a little bit, but I was spiritual like that.
Mm.
And it's amazing that I find people who will remind me and say, you remember when we were in this place, and they remember the details, and I don't remember those details.
Yeah.
But I realized that because I embraced who I was and who I am, it has liberated me. I did journalism, finished journalism, went into public health, and now stepped into this coaching field. And many times when people ask me, so what about your public health? And I tell them, but I'm dealing with the health of the mind.
Yes.
So the thing is, discover who you are. Mm. And sometimes, of course, some people are fortunate enough that you would easily figure out and say, this is who I am.
Mm. Yeah, true.
But it could also be that you're describing yourself by that because maybe it's a passion, maybe it's something that comes easy to do. But then that might not necessarily be you. Yes. That's why you need these conversations that just help you to kind of search within. I always say that coaching conversations are soul-searching conversations.
Mm.
I'm sure you've come across people who are, you know, you look at them and they feel like, you feel like, man, these people have made it in life.
Oh, yeah. Hmm? There are many. I even know some of them personally.
You know, somebody has made it in life, but they are very unhappy.
Mm.
Because sometimes you thought, maybe if I chase all the money in the world and I have it, if I drive the coolest car, if I do this, then you realize that all those things become meaningless. You wanted a Mercedes, it doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Today I just saw a Jeep that is coffee brown.
It spoke to your heart and your spirit.
Yeah, because I will tell you something. When I was driving, the first car that I drove was an Escudo.
Mm.
Okay.
Yes.
Now I drive another IO and... I remember people teased me that you've skipped a bicycle, you've skipped a boda boda, you've even skipped a chikumi. You know those days that chikumi was the thing?
Yeah. Mm.
And you've done what? You've gone for an Escudo. What is the next car? And I said, I'll drive a Jeep.
Yes, claim it. Just put it out
there. That's how I put it out there. Mm. But anyway, I mean, you drive that Jeep and you realize it's not bringing any satisfaction.
True.
So you begin questioning, what's the reason for life?
Mm.
You know, you thought that, you know, looking after my babies is something that is going to give me joy.
Meaning, yeah.
And all of a sudden, like you've said, it's an emptiness.
Mm.
Then you begin asking yourself, what is it? And then maybe you're going to begin clinging onto your children and they're going to say, you're being too much.
Yeah.
And they will abandon you because they just feel, when I call mom, she's just clinging on and all that. Because you've not discovered who you are. You kind of try to see your importance, your value through what you're contributing to certain individuals.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I've learned is to just say, look, all of us have something that we are uniquely cut out to do.
Yeah.
And so let the person enjoy that. If you're cut out for work, I call it work calling.
Yes, yes.
If you're cut out for work, you can work like that, but you know, of course, that one day you're going to retire. Or it could be like yours is more of still another job calling. Now, the difference between work calling and job calling is that, you know, jobs are more of, you know, those guys who are career driven.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Career advancements. Every 2-3 years, they're into another job. Every 2-3 years. There's nothing wrong with that. That is what gives them some sense of satisfaction, and that drives them.
Yeah.
But then there are those of us who are into real life calling. Things that don't make sense, that somebody will come up and say, I'm an encourager. What does that even mean?
Exactly. People can start laughing at the dining table. Encourager, what is,
what is that?
Is that going to put food on the table even?
But if you're kind of search within and you're able to understand what that means for you, then you're going to enjoy life.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, I mean, we are both in trying out ourselves in business.
That's very true.
But I remember there's a time I was disturbed. We belong to the Business Network International. And I remember one of the questions that I used to find difficult to respond to was, what is your financial goal?
Oh, gosh.
You know, when we are feeling either, you're going to have a conversation with a fellow business person, have this. And I would look, and sometimes people come up with values and you're thinking, I'm not going to say what I'm thinking. But one day I decided to just have a conversation with a coach.
Yeah.
Now, incidentally, the coach that I went to are those coaches who, they're from the second generation, the inspirational guys. The Tony Robbins of this world. You can step on fire and all that. I'm rambling on, but
this is good. Please, you're not rambling. This is good. This is a conversation. Huh?
Yeah. But the more he put finances before me and asked me for the figures and what, the more I started self-coaching. So he was coaching me, but what he didn't realize that I was also self-coaching. Because all of a sudden it occurred to me, we are coming from different generations of coaching.
Yeah.
He's coming from the second generation that is more about the human capital. You know, what is the human potential? And me, I'm coming from the third generation of coaching, where we are talking expanding thinking capacity.
Okay.
So then you talk to me and I said, oh, you know what? I think I know what your conversation has helped me discover about me. Money is not my driver. And so I said, I know that a single conversation is very meaningful for me. So I decided, if this is what makes it meaningful, then probably I need to just begin asking myself questions. How many people do I want to impact? How many conversations do I want to have in a month?
Yes.
Comfortably, also knowing that I mean, today, Soleil, you're such a power. Today is my post day. I shouldn't even be here.
Yes, you guys. Oh, my goodness. I hadn't even realized today is Wednesday when we're recording. Joanne has this call for me. She'll tell you all about it. Anyway, Joanne, tell us.
Yes, you know, Wednesday is a day for me. And that's why I told you, from here, I want to go and give myself a treat. Because I said, anyway, I'm going to town. And it's also good. I mean, I'm in this fancy place trying to record.
Thanks to our producer, Barnabas, behind the screen.
What was I saying before I meandered? Fourth floor issues.
I know, right? But we allow. These are the beautiful conversations we long for. You were talking about the fact that you had discovered that financial goals were not your drivers.
Then I said, if I discover how many conversations I need to have in a month, comfortably, but also giving myself time to be me, then I will come up with a financial goal. And guess what? When I did that, I even laughed at myself. I was talking to the executive program coordinator and said, can you imagine even what we have as a financial goal that we're just guessing?
Yes.
By just freeing up this time and knowing how many people we need, we now know the value that we need to bring in. And it doubled the financial goal that we had.
Wow.
And so for me, that was such an eye-opener to just understand that it's not money that is driving me. And when I'm saying that, it doesn't mean that I go around giving free coaching.
Exactly.
I don't necessarily give free coaching because I've built my muscle, Soleil. You know, if you listen to the 360 with Kavshenga, I actually mentioned that right now, because I've started coaching up to the highest level, to just meet my mentor for a mentoring session, I pay $400.
This is in an hour?
Yes, okay. In that space. So I'm building the muscle. And so that session is $400. But I know that I'm going to have a beautiful conversation with an individual.
That is going to be life-changing. You know what I'm hearing from you, which I think a lot of us struggle with, is this whole thing of And I know it probably happens. I won't say that it doesn't happen for men. I can only relate as a woman, because there's so many things we put everyone first but ourselves. We're like last on the list. And you know, there's that popular saying, you cannot give from an empty cup. If you're completely drained, you're not thinking about yourself, looking after yourself, investing in yourself, considering yourself someone who's worth being taken care of, in the sense that I will give you a rest day. I will give you an opportunity. You know, I'm now speaking as that person. I will give you an opportunity, like what you're doing right now. After this session with Soleil, you're going to go off and get yourself a treat, because you want really beautiful bed sheets. So when you go and get the bed sheets,
you want told them what I'm going to look for.
Shame.
My goodness.
Shame. Anyway, there's no shame, because at the end of the day, rest is very important. I will tell you that the reason why I'm so sad that Game, one of our stores here that's closing in Uganda, are the bed sheets, because I like those microfiber ones.
I'm actually looking for duvet, beautiful duvets, because I have searched around town.
I know,
and everywhere you walk to, you're thinking, wow. Oh.
The quality is not quite, the price will always be crazy, but the quality won't even justify the price.
Yes.
You're like, how am I paying all this money? Mm-hmm. I'll tell you something. The place where I used to get the best duvets from was when I was in Mogadishu. Like, there were so many beautiful, there was such a wide array that I remember it was so incredible that I would make sure every time I was going off on my for my break, I would just go and buy duvet covers, because I'm just like, I need to take this home with me.
Don't you have a garage sale? Maybe I should come and check.
Do you know how I packed things? You know, I even looked at myself and I was like, am I dealing in duvet covers and duvets and all of that? But no. But yeah, so what I wanted to say was, I like the fact that you are talking about self-discovery, self-identity, and actually making the time to invest and find out the answers to these questions. Because I'll tell you for myself, sometimes I'm put off. I know what to do. Someone's going to say, write down the things that make you happy. Write down the moments when you've... Like, there's so many solutions out there that we already know, but we don't implement them. And I'm curious as to why we don't do it. I don't know your experience as a coach, because I'm sure people have heard that if you want to, if you have a dream, if you have a goal, write it down, then plan your action steps, then do 6 months, do 3 months, then do daily or weekly goals that you can actually achieve. What is it that always we hit that wall and we're just like, it's too hard. You even hear someone saying it and you're just like, I already know what even this person's going to say. So I don't feel like doing it, because I've had it all before. But what stops us from taking that action to actually implement these things?
I almost feel like taking you to coaching class. You know, there are three generations of coaching. And the first generation was embedded in sports psychology. And that's why sometimes I meet people when I tell them I'm a coach. They say, which sport? Because that's the backdrop of coaching.
Yes, true, very true.
And that backdrop of coaching was about peak performance. You can do it. You push the person to the extreme, okay?
Yes.
To say, you know, you're not giving this thing enough. You know, you know, add in some more effort and all that.
Almost pushing them past their breaking point. Where you thought this was where you could stop, I'm going to push you a bit further.
But maybe that person has inner motivation. If I've discovered I'm Usain Bolt, I'm going to listen to my dad. Telling me what to do and how to go about things. Okay, probably that inner motivation is in. Then in comes the second generation of coaching that comes in to really drive human potential. And it's very interesting that what informed that movement, the human potential movement, is the psychologist, I forget his name. He came on as president of the coaching federation, and he was a psychologist. I forget his name, man. I don't even know how the name has disappeared.
Don't worry, once it comes to you, just send me a text. I'll make sure I put it in the description
box. He's a psychologist, and then when he came on board, he said, guys, we've spent years and years studying people who are not performing at par. You know, you remember that graph when we draw graphs, the X and Y axis, and then you have that line that runs through.
Yes.
And that line where it runs through, it's at a zero. So you're studying these people so that you bring them at the line bar that says zero. And he was questioning, so how many people actually strive to hit zero? I mean, it's as hilarious as that. How many people strive to?
To hit zero.
Yeah. So the thing then was, what if we studied people who have results? Who are above that line.
Okay.
So that once we understand their behaviors, we replicate those behaviors.
For the others who are probably at zero in quotes.
Yes. Then, they're already at negatives.
Yes.
What you've been doing, you've been trying to bring them to zero. You get it?
Yes.
You bring them to zero so that the needle can flip to the positive.
Yes.
And so then, because of that, we learned a lot. Mm-hmm. Okay, psychologists learned a lot about human behavior and potential. And that's why those formulas are working, mm-hmm. where they tell you, okay, what's the goal? What have you visualized? What yes. is this? If yes. you do this, if you... So you find the self-driven guys who mm-hmm. say, okay, fine, I will sit and write down these things. Let me work around them.
Yeah.
But sometimes knowing is not the same thing as doing. Okay, yeah. most of the time. Mm-hmm. And so now, it's all these other questions. Why is it that somebody has all these things but they're unhappy? Mm. Okay? Mm-hmm. All these things are happening. So in comes the third generation of coaching that is saying, guys, it's not a matter of closing the gap, that I need to move from point A to point B. Mm. And therefore, because I'm moving from point A to point B, what is standing in my way? Okay, I found it, fix it, solution, mm-hmm. done deal. So you have results. Mm-hmm. What we are saying is, can you have sustainable change? Yeah. That if something like that happened to you again, you're not going to run around like a headless chicken trying to figure out what to do,
yes.
because somewhat there are things that you have found for yourself that work.
Mm.
And back to your question, usually those things are really deep
personal.
Within, because you know, we normally love using the iceberg theory, that you know, you're trying to actually lift it up a little bit so that you're seeing what else is in there.
Yeah.
Now you're going to discover things like beliefs, assumptions, fears that are holding people back, because then probably you're looking at them and say, ah, those things are stage managed. You've had those things.
Yes.
People are coming up and probably they're showing you results, and they could actually be real results. But then you're saying, ah, those things are stage managed.
Mm.
Do you know what that is doing to your mind? The other day, I have a group coaching session that I'm running. And one of the ladies there said, I don't know. People see potential in me all the time. You know, they see potential in me, but somewhat I never step forward. Every leadership role that I've taken, somebody has pushed me into it.
Mm.
And so we start having this conversation. And then she says, you see, I am not inadequate. I am not lacking. So I would ask her, so if you're not inadequate, what are you? Who are you? You know, if you're not lacking. And then because studies have been out there, the neuroscientists tell us that the mind doesn't read double negatives. So when you're busy telling yourself, I am not inadequate, the mind is not reading that note. It's simply picking.
Inadequate.
So every time you're telling yourself, I am not inadequate, the brain is picking, I am inadequate. But you can imagine when I flipped that and showed it to her, said, oh my goodness, I can't believe this. And yet I'm a firm believer in positive affirmations.
Yes.
So then I said, yeah, so you're affirming to yourself, but you're affirming to yourself the wrong things.
Mm.
And then she realized that, oh, I think I'm actually sabotaging myself.
Yeah.
And so now that realization, that insight becomes the work that you're going to do.
Okay.
To just see what is happening. And of course, as the conversation went on, other things were surfacing for her. And then she realized, now I know what I need to deal with. It's not that I have a problem moving from point A to point B, but from point A to point B is a mess.
Yes.
There's all this, you know, it's like a wave of so many different things that are happening. And so you need to realize that when it comes to coaching, you're simply having a soul-searching conversation. You know, the conversation can look like it's going nowhere. You're like, you're meandering, talking about this, and we are very incoherent.
Mm.
You try and transcribe this thing after we are done.
I'm
very
even scared.
Incoherent. You know, it's very fascinating. I now study transcripts.
Mm.
And it's just fascinating how the mind operates. But for me, every time I'm in a coaching conversation, it's like taking a child to a bouncing castle. So the more it pumps them up, the more excitement. That's how the mind works.
Mm.
Because it's opening up, and it's a light bulb moment. Oh, I'm talking about things that I've never talked about before.
Yes.
So there's that excitement.
Mm.
Now, the coach is not carried away by your drama. I've told you this before.
Yes.
That, you know, when you're sharing your story, you're so much part of that story.
Mm. You're the star in this film.
You're the star in the film. Mm. You know, you've mastered the script and everything, that you don't see the other things that people are seeing. So the coach becomes your audience and your mirror. And so now that is something that everyone needs. Whether you're a man or woman, you are talking about that.
Yes.
It doesn't matter, because, I mean, I coach men, I coach women.
I think that's something that's very important to also bring out, that for the I think ever since I had the privilege of coming of being around coaches, and I say privilege because guys, sometimes I get free sessions without people knowing they're giving. Okay, they know they're giving me free sessions, but it's because of the journalist or the interviewer in me always wants to know why is this way and why is this that way. But I have always felt that a coach is not an expense. Like a coach, sorry, is not a luxury. A coach is very, very necessary. And especially if, you know, like me, my experience had been that I just had that feeling by the time I was able to have, you know, success in my career and I was doing pretty well. But I was just like, is this it? Like, is this it? Is this what I strived so hard for? And that's it. And then, you know, another thought popped up of, oh, okay, maybe you need to leave the country and work somewhere else. Then you'd have arrived. And I did that. And once again, I was like, is this it? Because once again, it didn't feel as satisfying. And yet at the end of the day, doing things like this, like the podcast or doing short films or being part of crews was really where I got my joy from, seeing a story coming to life. So when it comes to coaching, I would honestly advise you guys, Joanne's going to leave her details as we come to the end of the show. She'll be able to leave her details. And even in the description box, we'll put it there for you to book a session. If you can't get a hold of Joanne, there are other people who I'm sure she can refer you to. There's an association of professional coaches. You don't just go to anybody who says, well, I'm a coach. That's also another thing to be very cautious of. You know, your time is valuable. Don't go and start saying your things to someone who just said, well, I can coach people. No, professional coaches who know what they're doing so that they can guide you. And the thing that your voice made very clear to me, you, Patrick Ngolove, who's also a coach, and Esizam Yagonja, is that a coach is not your, a coach is not here to tell you what to do. Your coach is your mirror. Your coach is your sounding board. It sort of helps you, and you'll start finding the answers as the questions are being asked, which is what I love about coaching. Rather than someone saying, now, to get from point A to point B, you're going to one, get into this car, specific car, is this, get this much fuel, do. It's that whole thing of, so what car do you think you need to get into in order to get, do you think you need to get on a border? Are you going to use a car? Are you going to, oh, okay. So what if it does rain? Would taking a border then be a very white, and by that I'll be able to come to my own conclusion and say, actually, no, I just need a car reasonably priced that can get me from point A to point B. I just need to have this much money. And speaking of money, we also talked about this. When people are thinking about transition, because that was one of the questions, and we had asked you guys to submit your questions. I read some of them out to John, and I wanted to know, when it comes to transitioning, a lot of people in their careers, if they're just thinking, I need to move from, I'll give you an example, someone who's worked at an NGO, let's say World Vision, being paid very well, and then there's an opportunity to work with a startup company in Uganda. You want to take a major pay cut because it's a startup. You know, you hear the stories of it's a startup, we can't afford. But, you know, if you join, maybe you'll get shares. And, you know, as time goes on, we'll be able to give you this salary. So you go in knowing that I'm not going to be earning as much if I leave this job. And I won't have the benefits I had before. My car, my airtime, data, all those things are going to be gone. So what would your advice be when it comes to people planning to make that move, but they're scared about the money side of things?
Yeah, it depends on what is your driver.
Mm.
Because when I left World Vision, I mean, I had a regional job. I lived my life off a suitcase. And that, by the way, fulfilled a childhood dream.
Yes, traveling.
I always wanted to be to be a traveler of some sort.
Mm.
So even when they would ask me what I want to be, I would tell people I want to be an ambassador. Somewhat, for some strange reason, I always thought that all that ambassadors do
is travel. Yeah.
But then we lived in Entebbe. And our home was a transition, you know, was a transit home for travelers.
Yes.
Forget about these 9/11 things that disorganized our beautiful escorts, the entire clan going to the airport to see you off. But I remember I would even tell people that, look, a time will come when I'll be the one that people are ferrying to the airport.
Yes.
And guess what? I would just sneak out of the country. People wouldn't even know.
Yes.
Maybe 2-3 people, as long as immediate family knows that this is, I've gone out just in case anything happens.
Yes.
I'm out.
Yes.
I wouldn't say anything because you see me at church on Sunday and that evening I'm traveling. So next Sunday I'll still be at church. Yes. So you wouldn't know.
Mm.
Just the way any other person is doing, running their job.
Mm. Mm.
And they are back. But now, for me, I got to a point where I knew that this is the time for me to leave. And that certainly meant there are lots of things at stake. Because remember, I mean, this is simple math that people have put. If, for example, you decide that you want to pay yourself 1 million, your business should be able to bring in at least 10 times that, which means that you have to bring in 10 million in order to earn your 1 million. Because you have overhead costs, you have all these other things that are happening around that business that nobody tells you about.
Yes.
So the thing that I had to first deal with was a realization that whatever I'm going to do, my money's, that's out of the question.
Mm.
But in terms of preparation, because I said I'm stepping out, I know that this is, I always love to call it an Abrahamic experience. Mm-hmm. I don't know, you know, I mean, Abraham was being sent out for the Christians. He was being sent out to go and decide where he wants, where he was going, and he had no clue where he was going.
Yes.
So it's the same thing that, you know, I'm going out there to pursue this thing that I love, which I had, I mean, which I registered in 2014, Imagine Me. I registered a company called Imagine Me Africa. It's still what I'm running.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time then, I had to think and say, where is it that I'm going? And the question that you asked earlier on to say, who am I if I don't have this title?
Yeah.
And for me, I had several questions. So one of them was to say, how am I going to brand myself? And I remember I picked close to $8,000 to just invest in myself, go study Jack Canfield things, so that at least I have something else.
Yes, that you can't fall back on.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that, not even falling back on it, there's nothing to fall back to because you've spent the money anyway. You've just coughed the money.
Yes.
But in that moment, you just need fellow crazy guys to tell that this is what I'm going to do. Because a very protective mind will tell you you can't pick that money. I wouldn't even tell that to my parents, that, look, I'm going to spend $8,000 to go and do what? What is that that you're studying? People will ask you all crazy questions.
Yeah, because you'd be like, what university is it? Is it certified?
Yes, no, it's not a university. I tell you, what are you going to do? I'm going there. I'm going to be there for five days. Meanwhile, part of what is pushing the course, they're just trying to put you in spaces where you can think.
Yeah.
And then they're telling you they don't do their things below 5-star hotels. So if you really want to book your own facilities, maybe you have to go to booking.com and then find a Nigerian mufele, like this Livara girl just got when she was going to the Dubai Expo.
Man,
very
guys.
Unfortunate. But anyway, what am I saying is that you need to look at what is at stake and think through, what does this mean? What is your real reason for moving? I think that's what becomes important, because I tell people, not everybody is cut out for self-employment. Mm-hmm. Not everyone is cut out for business.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's just the end game. That's why the vision for Imagine Me Africa is that every corporate person should be able to transition or retire into a fulfilling, productive life.
Which is important.
Fulfilling, productive life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if your fulfillment is defined by money, then probably jumping from World Vision to go and do a startup is just going to be frustrating.
Exactly.
Because how have you defined fulfillment?
Mm-hmm.
I've defined fulfillment from the fact that every time I have a conversation that is fulfilling from another person, for another person, I am happy. I told you on Monday I had a session with somebody that was at 6 a.m. You can imagine.
Yes.
At 6 a.m. And this morning she sent me a message to say, you can't believe it. This is what has happened. And she's very happy. She's celebrating, and I'm celebrating with her. And she's where? Based in Kenya. So I'm in Uganda, worked with her through something. She's celebrating today. So she sent me that message. And that's what brings me joy. You know, Victoria Bagaya, I love sharing her story. She gave
me
permission. She's one of those that gave me permission to share her story. Victoria Bagaya is one of our news readers at NBS. For those of you who are not in Uganda, NBS is one of those
It would be like in America, it would be your NBC or NBS. Is it NBC? NBC,
you know
Good Morning America
better.
Sort of thing. Yes.
Yes. So she comes on board and we're on a 7-month journey of coaching. And she has this dream of becoming a prime news anchor in 5 years. So we start walking the journey, just trying to understand. Like I said, you know, coaching is a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And you're seeing this person in their drama, and then you mirror back things. The long and short of it is that she became a prime news anchor within 4 months.
Obgalob.
Yes. Mm. So just understanding yourself and asking yourself, what is it that I want? Have you defined what fulfillment means for you? Have you defined what success means for you? I told you when I got to that that coach, who was busy asking me, just assume you had $1 million today. And I told the fellow that, you know, I think I'm at that point. And then I said, maybe this conversation is not the best conversation for me because I'm really quite honestly speaking, Soleya, I'm one of those contented people. That, you know, there are things that I've settled with myself. And I just told myself, live your life the way you want to live it.
Mm-hmm.
Just be happy with yourself. Just be happy with decisions that you're making every day. Is everything aligned to the... All my stars are not necessarily aligned. Mm-hmm. There are things that I still look forward to.
Yeah.
Not all the stars are aligned, but I can't keep my eye on what is missing.
Oh, that's powerful. That is powerful right there.
Yes, I can't keep my eye on what is missing because people have defined standards for us to say this is what a happy life looks like.
Mm-hmm.
So what if you go and you know it is white all around you? Does it mean if I love pink, pink is bad?
Mm-hmm.
Or if I love, now we are here in grey, does this mean this place is terrible?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah.
It is what gives you satisfaction. If you're OCD and you want everything ordered in a certain way, that is you. Leave me alone with my disorganization.
Mm.
I'm also okay because I feel I just want to rest. Whether this thing is looking the other side, I'll just feel like, you know, today is that day. Let me just be. No pressure.
You know, the definition of you right now would be unbothered. That's the thing. Unbothered.
I think it comes with being on this fourth floor that you're there and you're thinking, well, this is life. And I remember there's a question that we tackled in the last interview. I don't even know why it's popping up now. About the men.
Oh, and yes. Let me ask the question so that people... I've asked, as a coach, Joanne, is there a difference in how men and women handle transition?
Yeah, because now this was bringing me to that point where I'm thinking, wait a minute, the pressures that they have, society has defined them.
For men, yes.
For men. Mm. You know, yourself. And I mean, we are still in a very traditional patriarchal society.
True.
For many of our African countries.
Mm.
And men are seen as providers. So they have that pressure. Okay? So they are thinking, do I jump into this? So for them, they are thinking, if I make this move and things go haywire, what happens? Yesterday on Mama Tendo, somebody was just feeling terrible that... they threw a surprise birthday party for the wife, and now one of the male friends to...
The wife?
No.
Or to the husband?
To the husband, comes in with a fossil watch. And now the person is so worked up, puts it out there and says, should I trust these people? I've even asked her to take back the watch, but this is what is happening. I said, oh, you mean the fossil watches are that expensive that they are working you up? Mm. So you see the things that are kind of working them up are different.
Mm.
The societal expectations.
Mm.
And they are thinking, will I fulfill my role?
Yes.
And then, unfortunately for them, they can also, I mean, vulnerability is not something that comes easy for them.
No.
Now, just realize that a coaching conversation is such a vulnerable conversation. It's a vulnerability conversation. It's almost like you're stripping yourself naked before a stranger and saying,
thank you very much. This is who I am. Flaws and all. I'm not hiding anything.
Yes. Mm. And because even your coach does not come with premeditated things.
Mm.
They are speaking to you based on what you present. Coaching is a science.
Yeah.
It's a mind game.
Mm.
So you're really dealing with these delicate things called a mind. And it had hidden certain things away.
Yes.
Okay? Mm-hmm. And you're comfortable. It's just amazing the things that this brain puts forward.
Mm. And reveals to you that actually this is the reason as to why you're not willing to let go of this job. Mm-hmm. It's because maybe your childhood was traumatized by seeing what poverty was like.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go back there, this is going to be the story of your life.
The trauma that you live with.
Mm.
The trauma that you live with.
Exactly.
You can imagine the story that we were listening to the other day of Grace Makoko.
Yes.
And you realize, very astute in terms of financial planning and what. But when I listened to her story, you just realized that trauma was too much for her as a child.
Mm.
If your dad has been a minister before, you've traveled business class. And then you wake up and they're telling you, same bed, you can't sit here. That's what she was seeing her dad go through.
Mm.
It traumatized her that she made certain decisions.
Yeah.
Now, that is why I keep on saying that there are things that you cannot do as an individual because your experience is extremely unique. We all have a story.
Mm-hmm.
And that story informs the things that we do. So for her, you don't have to come up and try to convince her to do certain things.
No.
Even when it might sound like sometimes, but aren't you being too much? Somebody even asks her, but now, over ice cream or what for the kids? And she said, but my children don't know those things.
Yes.
That, you know, you're raising them and they don't know those things.
Mm.
So if I've never tasted ice cream, how am I going to begin asking for it?
How can I miss
it?
What I've never had?
Yeah.
It's one of the things of just so like, you see, okay, it's cool.
Yeah, to just say that, you know, that frugality is what has shaped her.
Mm.
And fortunately for her, she had a husband, got a husband who understands those things because you might be coming from different places.
Yes.
One time I had a session with couples. And one,
must have been interesting.
It was very interesting, you know, very unique couples. Mm. And one of the ladies actually laughed when people were sharing their stories. I said, guys, me, I was spoiled. I grew up eating sausages and all those different things for this life. I don't understand.
I don't know it.
But just listening to people's stories, she realized, oh, now I understand why my husband always wants us to do certain things. So now you have to get to a level of compromise to say, okay, fine, how far do we go down this route?
Mm.
Because you've come to understand, you know, the person is sharing stories that they've never shared.
Yes.
Because the person who is facilitating them is a coach and just the things are just bubbling.
And a very neutral person, someone who doesn't know either one of you. So it's very, it's a very safe space to say, but this is how I feel without you coming back to me and saying, but we have been together for 20 years. I've never heard this story before. You know, that sort of thing.
Yes.
So I like that there's that.
And the safety that you talk about, because you're simply holding the space for people. Mm. So for men, usually, actually, they show up... it's normally the executive conversations. You know, one thing that I've found about men...
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, the level of confidence they have to go for things.
Yes.
I just marvel at how they do things.
Yeah.
If he has 30% confidence, the one with 60% is very confident.
Mm-hmm.
Just 30% confidence, they will go for something.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, a woman is busy looking, waiting for 90-100% surety.
To tick all the boxes and say yes, everything is in order.
Before they go in for things. Mm-hmm. And that's what kind of stands in the way. But back to some of the questions you're asking in terms of what do you want to do. Corporates at a Crossroads just answers a couple of those questions because it's a real life book.
Oh, you guys need to go and buy that book. I don't care where you are. If you're in outside countries, you can always get it on Amazon. It's a we're not pitching this book because John is here, but it's a very, very good book. If you had all these questions about my situation is different because all of us think we're very unique. We're unique at the same time, we're pretty much the same, I would say. So you find someone who does have a situation similar to your own that you can relate to. And you can start planning. And I think the beauty about coaching also that it presents you with options. It actually helps you step out of your bubble and start thinking things through to say, what exactly is it that I want for my life? Because if you are, say, for example, 40 years old and you have never asked yourself that question seriously enough, without trying to impress other people, to say, I think it would sound right if I said by the age of 50 I want to be a CEO. Do you actually want to be one? Like when you think about it, just because you've been working at this institution, do you actually want to be the CEO? You've seen the stress a CEO goes through. Does that give you a thrill to make you think, oh, I think I would like that because I would handle that job fantastically? Or does it make you think, oh my gosh, it's never that serious? Like really, there's got to be more to life. So that's what I like about coaching and what it presents. And I would be shot by somebody if I do not ask you these questions, John, as much as we went over them before. But I have to ask you these questions. And one of the questions from one of our listeners was, how does one overcome barriers like ageism, right? Transition in later years, other more experienced job candidates and so on when transitioning into a new career?
What is transitioning in a new career? I transitioned in a new career, right?
Yes.
I've been transitioning. I started in the media. Then when I went into World Vision in Uganda, I did health and communications and advocacy. Mm-hmm. Then eventually fell in love with programming, did monitoring and evaluation. So I've done all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And then I transitioned into this thing called my passion.
Yes.
Encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I remember I told you the other time that when I stepped out, I had never run any business, not run a kiosk, not sold milk in my neighborhood. And I thought, maybe I need to do a business.
Of all the things to think of. Uh-huh, yes.
Yeah, you know, because you're thinking, what's it? Because milk, maybe you're going to go and knock at people's doors.
Mm.
And those days we didn't have fences. Yes. Okay, we had the hedges,
the natural hedges.
You would run and jump over them. Then you see the parents of this one coming back, and then you've been hiding in ceilings, and you dash back.
Yes,
so that all your parents would find you at home and think you've been there the whole day.
Mm-hmm.
Kumbe,
you've been gallivanting.
Just, but so when you now my mind has
when it comes to like the transitioning between to another career.
Mm. Yes, to another career. It is more of. You know, the point of discovery is what just energizes us.
Mm-hmm.
there's something that comes with identifying something new. Now, those things of ageism is your self-talk.
A self-narrative, yes. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's your self-talk. Mm-hmm. What narrative are you giving to yourself? Well, I mean, the story is always one of those street stories of the guy of KFC.
Mm.
Started out life at 60. Of course, I'm not telling people to start off life at 60.
Yes.
If there are questions you can answer for yourself by 40,
mm-hmm.
Begin consolidating. Have a cool... You can imagine if by 40 you've stepped into what you really want.
Mm.
You have a whole 15 years to enjoy that before your retirement.
Yes.
And by that time, you'd have answered a couple of questions. In one of our engagements, I remember telling you that for me, when I got into coaching and realized that people who are running things at the global, some of them you can easily see, they're in their 70s, they're in their 60s, they're enjoying life. And
yes,
they said, you know what? It's just good to be you, to be comfortable in your skin. Just this, you know, kind of the soul searching you need to find out is, what is it that is standing in my way?
Mm.
Is it my self-talk? Somebody recently was telling me, you know what? I've just realized I've listened to a lot of noise. So whatever it is that I'm doing is not because of me. It is because of the noise around me. So you can imagine, because you're asking somebody and they are reflecting.
Mm.
And as they are reflecting, they say, wait a minute. There's too much noise. And where is this noise coming from? And then the person says, and can you imagine the noise is coming from people who are not even contributing a resource towards this? So it's just that realization to say, oh, a single conversation. You know, just that one moment, that single conversation can make a huge difference for somebody's life. Because now it's a realization. Unfortunately, of course, people think coaching is expensive. They look at it as an intervention. But if I'm to use Bagaya's example, if your five-year dream is achieved in 4 months, who is the winner in this whole process?
Exactly, you are. She is Bagaya,
And then there are moments I've told people, I mean, the ones who are looking for executive positions, and there are moments I've laughed at them. I ask them one of my favorite questions when they are trying to deal with that, to say, tell me the dream job that you're looking for in this executive space. How much is it? And then they will tell you a figure. And then sometimes I throw it back and I say, do you realize that figure is actually way more than what I'm asking you for?
Nice.
Because it's just, it's where are you looking?
Mm. Where have you put the value and said that?
Where have you put the value? Yeah. In fact, you know, I used to kind of just charge for these single conversations until I spoke to a master certified coach in Kenya. I think she's the only master certified coach that we now have in the region at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And she told me, Joanne, you know, coaching is an intervention. You can't go around charging hours and saying this hour costs this much, this hour costs this much. Just think about it as an intervention.
Mm.
And that freed my mind.
Yeah.
So, and then they said, yeah, and your intervention, the first conversation can sort someone out. Another one will continue working with you for another 6 months.
Mm.
Maybe another one wants to do it for a year. That's why you see, think about, you know, in the developed economies, people work with coaches all the time. And sometimes they have coaches for different things. There's a lady who is a president of a company in the US, this CE concept is more of a president.
Mm.
So she runs a facility. And then we are always laughing because she has a life coach.
Mm-hmm.
She has a parenting coach, and now I'm in her life as an executive coach. So sometimes she's trying to figure out what is going on with all these different coaches, and we just joke about it.
Mm.
But she feels like she needed to have these boxes to know.
Yes,
with this
to compartmentalize.
Coach,
you deal with this, you deal with this, and
you
this
deal
one.
With that.
Yeah.
Mm. But the whole thing is that this sounding board that is not attached to your situation is totally different. A friend, just told me that, you know, his daughter got up and said, Dad, I need a coach. And then they reached out to me. I said, now that's going to be an interesting one. She's the youngest person that I've coached.
Nice.
At 18.
Mm.
And she was grappling with the issues of making a decision for a university.
Mm.
And so I asked this young girl, so tell me, why are you looking for a coach? And then she said, I wanted someone that is completely delinked from my noise. And that's how she put it.
Wow.
Yeah, because I feel I have all these noises in me and what and blah, blah, blah. And it ended up a very beautiful conversation.
Mm.
And I thought, wow, I'm always running away from young people, but it looks like they are young people who are really thinkers.
Yes.
Because I told you the kind of coaching we do is expanding thinking capacity.
Mm.
And sometimes it's traumatizing when you think about our UPE products. So I wasn't, you know, you're not sure sometimes when you're going to have conversations with young people, but she showed me that there's a lot of thinking that is happening. And again, back to the example that you had, because yeah, when you come to a coach, I'm not going to tell you this is what you're going to do. What you might be looking for in your life now could even be a mentor.
Yeah,
there's nothing wrong. You know, coaching borrows from a couple of fields. You know, similar to different fields that advance human potential, and one of them is mentorship.
Mm.
The other one is consulting, because you might come into me if maybe you're dealing with your finances, you're struggling. One of my clients came in and theirs was a financial story that they wanted to put together.
Mm-hmm.
And in that process, they realized they needed a consultant to help them manage their finances. So it's interesting, because now it was that consultant that was actually paying me, because she ended off surrendering her cards and all those different things and paid someone to do that.
Yes.
And then she's very excited about the results that she's having through that. Sometimes what you need is training. So usually I normally say that when it comes to coaching, most of my clients are clients who I have been there, done that. So yeah, you're not going to come to me and say, tell me things about production. I don't even know them. Okay? But you've been there 10, 15, 20 years. If you've been in that role 10, 15, 20 years, it means that there's nothing technical that you're looking for.
Mm.
You need to identify the blockages. And that's why the coach becomes your pillar.
Mm.
You know, my
Joanna, I'm booking a session with you. As you're here jazzing, I'm just like, yes, you're speaking my language. Mm.
My most fascinating story, coaching journey, when I was listening to throughout this process, is one when we had a jig to do with Microsoft Global, and because we're a pool of coaches,
yes,
and the people that the clients that actually selected me were in the Scandinavian countries, somewhat there. And now networks. One of them was speaking about iCloud things. And I was there thinking, apart from saving my things, I don't even understand what this guy is talking about. But because it's a science, I was picking out specific things.
Mm.
And he gave me a condition. He said, you know, I want my sessions is exactly 30 minutes. Because I start the session when I'm pulling out of my parking lot. I want my session completed by the time I'm parking at the office. And it takes me exactly 30 minutes.
Wow.
You can imagine.
Yes.
And that's the coaching muscle that I was telling you about. Because the shorter the conversations, the harder it is. Because it calls for a lot of strength and focus to size it up.
Yes.
So when people are looking for, in fact, I would tell fellow coaches, surely 1.5 hours, are you still coaching or you're jazzing away?
You're in Kabozi.
Mm. Because I know that in 30 minutes, somebody will have a quality conversation. But that takes a different kind of muscle to be able to size it up.
Mm.
I know many of my clients, sometimes we have 1 hour, but by the time we are through, my average coaching time is actually 40 minutes.
Mm.
By the time I'm through with those 40 minutes, we've dealt with all the other things. But because, you know, you have to let somebody feel like, you know, Mnanga, I paid for 1 hour. So, yeah, you let continue.
Let me finish my month.
Yes, but would have finished the real stuff, if you asked me, the real stuff. And now for the executives, they don't have time.
Mm.
That's why for them now 30 minutes becomes the key. You know, sometimes I want to try out conversation and say, what can I achieve in 20 minutes?
Yes.
What can I achieve in 25 minutes? But that means that your muscle should be at a certain level of...
Or strength where you can actually deal with that to say, I will make this worth your while and will be able to achieve all the goals that I started off with coming into this conversation, to this coaching session, knowing that I would have gone through this entire list, ticked it, you'll feel like you got value and I will feel like I was able to give you value, sort of thing.
Yes.
Okay, speaking of time, Joan, because I'm now conscious of your time. I've actually taken an extra 10 minutes of your time, if not 15. For the other people who had questions, a lot of them you've actually dealt with, you know, how one should prepare when they're going to do, if it's the polar opposite, everything comes down to self-discovery, sitting down with yourself to figure out how exactly do I go about this. And of course, if you're at a point, mid-level career, I think the best advice we could give you is definitely go and see a coach. You could start the initial work by doing, you know, your own notes, you know, taking 15, 20 minutes, however long you need to write down what it is that makes you happy, what exactly it is you want for your life, what would be the ideal situation, and then just book your session with a coach. I think that would be the best thing for you, because every person is unique and every person would have a different way as to how they would go about attaining their goals. So my last question to you, John, would be, what gets you excited about your career and the future? Because, you know, we're still in that time, you know, dealing with what's happening with the pandemic. But of course, I think a lot of us are beginning to realize life must go on. We must figure a way as to how we can live with this virus. And hopefully there will come a time when there will be a cure. But for now, I'm hoping that there is something that gets you excited about the future and excited about your career. And if you don't mind sharing, what would those be?
I attended the CEO Forum this year. Mm-hmm. And what was very exciting was the fact that they were pushing organizations to be purpose-led. And then you cannot be a CEO leading a purpose-led organizations when you don't have purpose. Mm. And who are the people that actually drive that process to help you nail purpose? It's the coaches. So it's really exciting because it almost feels like, oh, I just landed myself in the profession for the future. So it's really exciting. People are beginning to question stuff. 2 years, close to 2 years of the lockdown has sent people asking a different set of questions. Mm. So they are beginning to unearth different things. And I mean, that season where I'm really blessed because I kind of have a different spectrum of individuals that I'm coaching.
Yes.
I'm coaching educators. I'm coaching business leaders. I'm coaching the executives. And you can see that everyone is in that reflective moment where they are questioning how can they remain relevant. Now, relevance, when we think about the VUCA world.
Please explain VUCA.
Volatile, uncertain, complex, ambiguous. Then you need to have conversations that are turning that conversation around to say, where there is this volatility? What's my vision? What's in the horizon for me? You know? So you want to be able to kind of nail that and say, what is it that I'm looking for? What is it that I need to unearth? What is it that I need to unlearn? Okay, how can I become creative? We need to be agile. And the learning here that I'm talking about is not learning to go to class and learn something. I'm talking about learning from your own experiences. Now, you'll not learn from your own experiences, but even coaches, I mean, every coach needs a coach.
Yes, indeed. I'm now discovering that.
Yes, every coach needs a coach because you cannot see yourself in the mirror. You know, I'm sure for you to get that lipstick, Bambi, I need to catch up. And it's truly aligned. I'm sure you didn't just pick like a thing and did this. You must have picked a mirror and ensured, oh, this hair must be in place and all that. So that's what everybody needs. A mirror so that then they're able to say, this is what matters to me. And unfortunately, please don't be like those people who come. You know, there are many people who come to us last minute and they want you to just understand their situation. And especially the fact that for me, my primary target group are people in the corporate space. So I tell myself, you're in the corporate space, you earn a salary. And then you think that this is too much for the asking. You're looking for a job of 10 million, of 20 million. But you feel you cannot invest in a package that will take you there. You want this person to kind of give you a free service. I'm also paying $400 to be mentored.
Yes.
But I've also paid to go through the classes. So mentorship is completely outside the fees that I pay to be trained as a coach.
Yes.
And I've trained level 1, level 2, level 3. So I now know the value that I bring to the table. And I'm happy. I celebrate my clients who have given me, you know, jobs that I'm working with people for a 1 year journey.
Yes.
And it's very exciting. I will tell you that in one of the organizations, I'm actually coaching people that are being prepared for the executive pipeline. Their ED is exiting and they've decided to get some members to be coached. So it's very interesting to see how you're coaching these individuals and they all know that they're in that pipeline for to replace
ED. Yes.
The ED, like a succession pipeline.
Yes.
And that is what, and then you're dealing with their conversations and everyone brings something that is really unique and it's very, very exciting. And then I have another entity that came out and said, you know what, you know, we are beginning to think about our executive pipeline in the next 2-3 years. How do we support our individuals, the 1-3 years, so that we know we have people that we are working with. And then it's just amazing the things that kind of come out of those conversations. So, yeah.
The future looks bright.
The future is bright. The pasture is green here in my environment.
Yes.
Ah, yeah. And I told you that, you know, there is only one coach for every 8,000 clients.
Yes.
So for me, it's about where am I 8,000? Maybe one of the 8,000 is one of your listeners.
Yes.
To this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But what am I saying? I'm throwing myself out there. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter because I know my clients are scattered. Mm-hmm. You know, the globe has made us one small village like
yes.
this.
Yes.
That now I can offer services to an entity that is based in the U.S., and then they have their subsidiary things in Africa.
Yes.
But it's not the Africans that identified me. It's the U.S. office that identified me.
Mm-hmm.
That's how small the world has become.
Yeah. I think what I get from you is also for the people to have the courage to put themselves out there and not to limit yourself to what you think is only possible to you. If you keep yourself open and say, you know what, I'm going to put myself on platforms like LinkedIn, Twitter. Mm-hmm. I know you are not a Twitter person, and now thanks to the 360 Mentor. By the way, guys, there's a show called 360 Mentor by Robert Kabushenga. We will write it down for those of you who do not know. Our local names can be quite a tongue twister. But it's called The 360 Mentor by Robert Kabushenga. Joanne has been a guest on it. I wasn't a guest on it a few weeks ago, a month ago or so. But you'll find very interesting stories there. And I think as a result of putting ourselves out there, we are having people come to us who ordinarily we would have never been in contact with. So Joanne's on LinkedIn,
yeah,
she's on Twitter.
Yeah, I was elated when Kabushenga came into my inbox saying, oh, I want to host you. And I'm thinking, what? Robert is looking for me to do what?
To do who? But Joanne, please tell people where they can find you. Just give them your handles so that they can find you.
Okay, I told you I run a company called Imagine Me Africa. www.imagineMeAfrica.com. But if you want to reach out, simply say coach@imagineMeAfrica.com. coach@imagineMeAfrica.com. And definitely one of our team members will reach out to you. But then I'm also, what you see is what you get. I use my name everywhere, whether it's on LinkedIn or Facebook or Twitter.
Yes.
Of course, I'm not going to go on TikTok now. That is, I can coach you if you want to go on TikTok.
Never say okay. Never, Joanne. Never say never. You might find yourself there.
I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. Maybe I'll hold myself accountable to this promise
yes.
to myself that I'm not sure about TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's just those things where you say, in which spaces can I be? And the whole of last year, I spent it trying to master LinkedIn. I've always been on Facebook.
Yes.
And the thing that took me to Facebook was a realization, Bambi, you've been in your clouds.
Mm.
You're coming back here.
Yes.
And I didn't have networks. That was very scary.
Mm.
It was very scary to just realize that I didn't have a tribe around me.
Mm.
And I decided,
your community that you needed
let
to build
me use Facebook to create a different kind of footprint. And my accountability partner is actually somebody that we met with on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And then last year, I just realized, okay, what else can I do? And I was listening. I'm a lifelong learner, so I was busy listening to series by different business people, and they were telling us how to use LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
So I go on to LinkedIn, and that's how, you know, down the road, somebody reached out to me.
And you got your big gig.
Yeah, we got a big gig that initially was 6 months, and they've extended it for another 3 months. So it's really, really exciting. They got their new people on board who feel that at their country level, they need to get their teams coached. So, I mean, it's a ripple effect.
Yes.
And now when Robert reached out to me, he literally had to mentor me in terms of, this is how you use Twitter. I have that.
People, Twitter spaces, don't judge us. So John and I were learning. We're like, what is Twitter spaces?
I have learned
what?
Now. Now I have over 1,000 followers.
Oh, God,
yeah.
No.
Can you imagine what Robert has done? Yesterday was my day.
Mm.
I got someone, you know, from a UN agency that just became my friend, running a program, my follower, not my friend.
Mm-hmm.
Running a program, it's one of those programs that I've always thought about, how can I contribute to this space? Because I'm very intentional also in some of the spaces that I'm going into. So I looked, I said, the universe is delivering.
Yes.
Who is this person following me?
Mm.
I went to his inbox, now I'm waiting. Now I'm going to go and also search for the name on LinkedIn. I will try as much as possible, or at least I will go to BNI and say, who knows this person?
Yes.
And somebody will hand walk me to that place.
To that place.
Yeah, it's amazing what. And then that's why you see, I'm saying, when the outage happened, of course, I didn't even realize that there was an outage.
Yes. Man, we are now deep in our couples, Joanne. We were talking, and then afterwards, when I checked, I said, now check how to ask. I just asked, and Joanne was generous to say yes. Me, I was expecting you to tell me, in the next 2 weeks, maybe we can have
that's
an appointment.
Because I knew I was coming to town to just go to Bed and Beyond. I don't even know what is there. But
we are shopping. We are fancy these days. We go to Bed and
Beyond. We are fancy like that. You know, I mean, why do you work?
Thanks very much.
But and you know, you also know that I'm one of those people that mobilizes people to save for the future.
Yes.
So this is just to show you that, yes, I save for the future, but I must also enjoy the now moment because tomorrow is not promised.
True.
But again, at the same time, you realize that, you know,
you have to plan.
You have to plan because what if God grants you 120 years?
For example.
Mm-hmm. And you didn't do anything about it. And let me do Kalango for my Mazima program.
Please, please go on.
For those of you who are in those other spaces, we know that NSSF is such a beautiful place. I'm a beneficiary of NSSF. But we know that people wipe out their savings within 2 years, and that's very painful. So we created this platform called the Mazima Voluntary Retirement Benefits Scheme, where people are voluntarily saving. And for us, 70% goes to your retirement account and 30% to your short-term access. Mm-hmm. And the whole idea is, can we take charge? Because if all you have is NSSF, the bitter truth is you're only contributing 5% to your retirement. So is that enough? Mm. If government hadn't forced your employer to add the 10%, what would happen?
True.
Yeah, that's how brutal I am when it comes to those things, finances, to say, what else? What else can you be in charge of? And I think I've really enjoyed being in the self-employment space because you live and you don't know where the next paycheck is going to come from, but you're happy.
Yes.
Happy, happy. I don't know about other people, but I'm happy the fact that I'm living in my element, my encouraging element that has now come up with all these other fancy titles of coach and I don't know what. Mm. So thank you for having me.
Oh, it's been a pleasure, Joanne. And if people, is the saving scheme open to everybody or is this only for specific members?
Yes. It's open. It's open and we save every day. When I say that is that at any one point when you have your phone, so sometimes when I receive money that is I wasn't expecting, I just
immediately
online and send it, and then immediately I will do *272# and it will show me that my balances are updated. So that's how amazing it is.
Okay.
And we save as it was 2,000, 5,000, 10K. You know, people think about the big monies. Eh? Let me tell you, being in the Mazima scheme has really humbled me. It has humbled me. So Leah Mazima has humbled me, where you look at what people are trying to save and you're thinking, man, you'll go at CJ's and this money will not even be enough.
True.
So it's just one of those things where you say, you know what, if you're in a privileged position, that's why I say that if you're in a privileged position, you're in a, you know, in a corporate setting, Bambi.
Do the necessary.
Do the necessary. Because if somebody has been their life, they know how to survive.
Mm.
Now, for you, you're in your air-conditioned places. You drive an air-conditioned car. I'm going to look for one as well.
We both need to.
Yes. But, you know, you're in your air-conditioned car. You're in an air-conditioned building in the middle of town. Even when people call you, you don't want to pick because they are not in. They are not your kind of people.
Yes.
And then
real life.
Real life happens. COVID, people had to take pay cuts. Others had to lose jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes you're looking at people and you're thinking, but we were having these conversations before and you are not paying attention.
Mm.
So sometimes if you have listened, actually now let me be like a prophetess.
Yes.
That if you have listened to this conversation and you know in future you're going to look back and say, I wish I talked to the coach, then it would have been your mind that let you down.
Mm.
Because we've told you what to do. Yes, I'm the president of the International Coaching Federation, Uganda chapter. We have coaches. Mm. We now have 55 members of us. You can't tell me that you will fail to find a coach.
True.
If you come to the right spaces, we will give you the people that need to come to you. There are people who will come to me and they'll say, your fees, I say, I have other people I can recommend.
Mm.
I don't tie it to myself and say, I tell them we are a whole federation, so you have
You have options
for people to reach out to. Yeah.
People you've had. I hope you're going to take this seriously. I know we've gone a bit deep, heavy, but we've also gone a bit light. I hope you appreciate that. You know, once in a while we need to have these conversations because that's the whole reason behind Girls Like Me, UG. We wanted to hear from other women and from other men, of course, who are just similar to us and who have other things that are on their mind and things that they want to discuss and share, of course, their life experiences. We do appreciate you so, so much. And we would love to hear from you. You can, if you're old-fashioned, you want to send us an email, you can go to girlslikemeug@gmail.com. If you want to send us a message off our different platforms, on Anchor, you can definitely send us a message, a voice note if you're feeling fancy, because we also love to hear your voices. You can send it, messages to us on our Instagram, Facebook, everywhere. We are at Girls Like Me, UG. Please look for us. We'd be more than happy to hear from you. Joanne, thank you so much for making the time to come out here, sit with us, talk for us on your pause day. Guys,
you know,
are you like Joanne? Are you feeling, Joanne, that you just want to do what she's doing? Have a pause day in the middle of the week.
On a Wednesday.
On a Wednesday, people. She's having a pause week. It's important for you to take care of your mental health. Think about getting a coach. Joanne has dropped all her details. But of course, we'll also make sure that all this information is in the description box. Sending you loads of light and love. Keep safe. Stay safe. Please make sure you're wearing your masks. You're doing the usual things.
I've put on mine.
Joanne's put on hers right now. Mine is off at the moment because I'm still jazzing with you, my good people. But please make sure you wear your mask, keep safe, and I hope you've been vaccinated. We would love to still have you with us in 2022 and the years to come. God bless you all. Thank you so much for listening, and we will catch you on the next one. Bye, guys. Yeah.